thin. I was too thin. And pale. They say pale is the new tan, but only ghostly white people believe that. Casper was friendly, never sexy. Standing in front of the mirror, I flexed, willing my muscles to fill out my frame with rounded arms and sectioned abs. Instead, they only twitched feebly under my skin, hinting at what could be, after perhaps a year or two of concerted effort at the gym. Whoever heard of such a thing? A vampire going to the gym? Amend that. A lampier. If I was a full blood, then I wouldn't even cast a reflection, and honestly, I was starting to see the appeal. I leaned closer to the mirror. Was I losing hair? I tilted my head to the left and the right while parting the strands, but found little in the way of answers. Maybe my Rogaine regimen needed upping. Sighing, I turned off the bathroom light and went into the kitchen. The woman was lying unconscious on the linoleum floor where I had left her, dressed in jeans and a low-cut sweater. Not for the first time, I found myself wishing for one of those large dining tables from Restoration Hardware, the kind that could have easily accommodated an adult body with room to spare. Unfortunately, that sort of table just wasn't practical for apartment living. At least, not in the types of apartments that I could afford. Instead, I made do with a tiny circular two-seater, which rarely got used because I did most of my eating on the floor. Leaning down, I removed the quality control bag from over her head that read, "Satisfaction guaranteed" in bright red letters, and let out another sigh. She wasn't very pretty. Not that I had expected a bombshell. The delivery service I used promised women in their 20s and 30s, not Victoria's Secret models, but it was always nice when dinner had something special, like full lips or an upturned nose. No such luck today. Dull brown hair framed a forgettable, evenly spaced features. Shouldn't that have made her pretty, though? I'd always heard that being symmetrical made you beautiful, but I guess you could just as easily be symmetrically fat or cross-eyed. I shook my head as I tossed the bag into the nearby trash. Perhaps one day I'd have money for better. But until I won the lottery, plain Jane it was. And with a practiced move, I crouched down, teeth breaking skin. She screamed, bolting upright, slamming her head directly into mine. I shrieked as well, toppling to the side. The woman looked around wildly before seeing me and scrambling away. Who are you? Where am I? And for a moment, I was completely overcome with shock. And not from the pain. After using NextDirect for so long, I couldn't remember the last time I had spoken to one of my meals. I stammered. As I got into a sitting position, found you outside of my apartment in an alley. That was good. Bad things always happened in alleys. The woman's face screwed up.
An alley? But I was leaving the supermarket.
Shit. I didn't have anything to say to that.
What part of town is your apartment in?
She asked. My address seemed like it was the last piece of information I should have been giving her, but somehow it just spilled from my lips.
What?
She said in this strangled grasp when I finished.
I don't even live in the same state.
I just shrugged. A bit surprised myself. I had always assumed the women I received were local. She clutched herself, starting to rock back and forth.
Who?
She said.
Who would do this?
Again, I shrugged. Even though she wasn't really looking at me, I didn't have an answer, at least not one I thought it was wise to give voice to.
I'm bleeding.
She whispered suddenly, pulling a wet hand away from her neck. There, was a glass in the alley, and you were lying in it. I said. She nodded slowly, eyes flickering over the rest of me before suddenly going wide.
Why is your shirt off?
Immediately, I felt very self-conscious and ridiculously crossed my arms over my nipples before I realized what I was doing. I didn't have any towels of the right size for your cut, so I thought I'd rip off a piece of my, I spotted my shirt only a few feet away on the back of one of the kitchen chairs. Thank the Lord. I stood up and I grabbed it. My shirt, you know, like in the movies. I grinned sheepishly, but inside my heart was thumping crazily. Who in the hell would believe that? She didn't bat an eye, though, only nodded again.
Oh.
I looked down at the shirt, one of my favorites, white and soft. But having started down this absurd path, there was nothing for it. I went to rip it, but it only stretched. I could feel her eyes on me, so I tried again, pulling it further and grunting with the effort. I really did need to go to the gym.
Do you...
I looked up, the shirt still taut in my hands.
Do you just have a paper towel or a tissue?
She asked almost apologetically.
It doesn't seem that deep.
Sure, I said, happy to wedge the shirt under my arm. I ripped a sheet from the countertop roll and then, thinking better of it, I took a few more. I only ever used Bounty, but I didn't want her thinking I was stingy.
Thank you,
she said, as I handed her the mass of paper.
And, Bactine or maybe some Neosporin?
Sure thing. I nodded, already moving to the bathroom. Turning on the light, I noticed I was still bare-chested and so quickly yanked on the shirt. It looked like a sack on me after all the stretching. Her voice carried down the hall.
You called the police, didn't you? Or an ambulance?
I froze in the act of opening the cupboard. Of course, I said. They're on their way. My hands shook as they moved, taking the tiny tube of Neosporin out and shutting the door with a snap. This was not going well. Walking back down the hall, I forced some calming breaths. I needed to decide what to do. What to do? She was conscious. She knew where I lived. I needed something heavy. I needed something blunt. I smiled as I emerged from the hallway, but stopped mid-stride. She was gone. I looked around frantically before seeing her in my living room, lounging on my favorite chair.
Sorry, she said. I suddenly just needed to sit on something that wasn't the floor.
The kitchen table was closer, but I didn't say that. Instead, I smiled and handed her the Neosporin. Would you like something to drink? Water? Vodka? Air escaped from her mouth. I think in another time and place it would have been a laugh.
Water, please,
she said. Coming up. She spoke to my back as I walked to the kitchen.
So, you carried me here? All by yourself?
No. Why didn't I say yes? I could have done it. There's an elevator. My next door neighbor happened to be out getting his mail when I saw you, so he helped. He's actually the one who called the cops and everything. I glanced at her while I pulled out a glass and filled it from the sink.
I should thank him.
Yeah, he's probably downstairs waiting for them to come. He's a really good guy, and he was worried about you. What was I doing? My next-door neighbors were a mother of four and an 85-year-old man attached to a respirator, and I didn't like either of them. Did you want ice?
Oh, no, thank you.
Walking back over, I smiled again, and this time she managed a bit of one herself as I handed her the tall cup. Sorry, it's tap, I said, easing myself onto the nearby couch. I know everyone these days has a Brita, but to be honest, the water never really tasted different to me, even with the flashing green light trying to convince me it was better. So I finally just went back to regular. But whenever I have guests, I feel real guilty.
It's fine, she said with another little smile.
And then, over the rim of the glass, she paused.
I just realized, I don't even know your name.
I'm sorry, I said, extending my hand. Stanley. Stanley Wentworth. She took it, although her grip wasn't very strong.
Maria Brandt.
Well, it's very nice to meet you, Maria. She let go immediately, turning to look at the door, and before I knew what I was doing, I picked up a candlestick from the end table and struck her on the back of the head with the weighted bottom. It all came out as a knee-jerk reaction, but somehow the timing worked perfectly. The next series of knocks covered both the dull thump of the metal hitting the cranium and her thankfully small gasp of surprise. She slumped in the chair, limp fingers dropping the glass of water on the floor. The carpet muffled the cup's fall and stopped it from breaking, but her small sips hadn't amounted to much, so a pool of water spilled out. I tisked in annoyance, but a soaked rug was the least of my worries right now. As if on cue, the knock sounded again, louder, and this time accompanied by a male voice.
"Open up! It's the police!"
I dropped the candlestick, which clattered noisily as it fell between the end table and the chair. The police? I hadn't called the police. I had been lying.
"I can hear you. Open the door!"
I looked frantically around my neat, organized apartment, suddenly wishing I had lived a much more bohemian lifestyle, complete with spare pillows and throws I could use to quickly turn Maria into just another decorative lump. My eyes alighted on the closet, and without hesitation, I grabbed her by the arms, dragging her right over the side of the chair. Her legs flopped comically after the rest of her body, but I didn't stop grunting and pulling and pushing until I had her completely wedged under a row of coats. For good measure, because who knew how long she'd stay out. I took off my stretched shirt, using it as a gag, and locked the door as I closed it. An odd feature I had never truly appreciated until this very moment. Perhaps more vampires dabbled in architecture than I realized. Knocking shook the door again, and this time it sounded as if the policemen were pistol-whipping the wood.
"If you don't open up right now, I will force entry. You have until the count of three. One!"
"I'm coming!" I yelled, quickly double-checking the lock on the closet before scrambling over, picking up the discarded glass. "I'm just getting dressed. I'll be right there."
"Two!"
I dashed to the kitchen, dropping the cup in the sink before rushing over the door. I got it unlocked and yanked it open just as the young officer was sucking in his breath to scream three. He was shorter than I expected, only a little taller than my shoulder, but his uniform was neatly pressed and the gun he was holding looked shiny and new. He quickly closed his mouth and holstered the weapon, but his hand didn't stray far, resting on his hip, while the other one pointed at me.
"Mr. Wentworth, I presume?"
"That's right." I glanced to the left and right, down the hall, before turning back to the officer. "Don't you normally come in twos?" The shorter man lifted a brow.
"Are you encouraging me to call for backup?"
"No," I said, raising my hands defensively. No, I just...
"Screaming, Mr. Wentworth. Both a woman and a man's voice were reported to be heard. Care to explain?"
"Seriously? The brats next door yelled for hours at a time and no one called the cops on them. I hated being the new guy in the building. Zero trust." The officer's eyebrows, which were really quite thick, bunched together.
"When people delay, that usually means that they're preparing to lie. Don't."
No. See, the TV was on and I was watching a horror movie and, well, I get scared easily," I finished lamely. The officer paused before replying.
"You're telling me that the woman's scream was from the television and the man's scream was yours in response to the show?"
I nodded, trying to look embarrassed, which admittedly wasn't very hard. The officer paused again, the fingers of his free hand rubbing his chin while he stared me down. Vampires are famous for their mind powers, such as hypnotizing their prey, and lampiers have access to some of these abilities. I'd honestly never been very good at them, especially not when it came to manipulating another person's thoughts. But at this point, I was willing to try just about anything. I returned the officer's stare, but in a timid way, so as not to set off alarm bells, and at the same time began to chant in my mind, "You do not need to look in this apartment. You do not need to look in this apartment. You do not need."
"I'm going to need to look in your apartment,"
he said. "Shit." I smiled. "Come on in." I stepped aside so he could enter, but the policeman motioned me back, so I complied. He followed, keeping an eye on me while scanning the kitchen. I watched him awkwardly for a few seconds, until a thought came to me. "Wait," I blurted. "Don't you need a search warrant to enter my apartment?" He glanced at me briefly.
Not once you invite me in.
I couldn't help it. I laughed out loud. The policeman, clearly unaware of the irony, favored me with an odd look before pressing into the living room.
Why isn't your TV on?
He said. I turned it off after I got scared. He inspected the area.
And why is your carpet wet?
I dropped a glass of water when I screamed. I was cleaning up when you knocked.
I thought you said you were getting dressed.
I was, I said, trying to connect my lies. Water spilled on me too, so I was switching clothes.
Like your shirt?
He said, indicating to my naked upper half. Yes.
So, if you bring me your shirt, it will be wet?
Probably. It might have dried by now. I thought of my shirt currently soaking up drool in Maria's unconscious mouth. You do not need to see the shirt. You do not need to see the shirt. You do not need to see the shirt. He eyed me and then suddenly turned away, stomping toward my bathroom and bedroom. I sighed quietly, staying where I was. Finally, something was going my way. It didn't take long for him to check the rest of my one-bedroom apartment, which thankfully I've always made sure to keep free of anything incriminating. Even the satisfaction guaranteed bag in the kitchen trash was otherwise nondescript. He looked disappointed, but ready to leave, when he paused in the living room again.
Where does that door lead?
He said, pointing to the closet. Nowhere, I said, feeling a sudden rush of panic. It's just for storage. It only took the officer a few steps to reach the door.
Why is it locked?
He said, trying the handle. Oh, I said, is it? I must have done that by accident. I always forget I even can. He wasn't listening, though, and my heart stopped as he unlocked the door and swept it open. For a moment, I allowed myself the very small hope that Maria would somehow be obscured by the trench coats. But she flopped right out, lying prone at the officer's feet. You do not see a woman. You do not see... fuck it. My arm swung around, clocking the policeman in the head with the same surprisingly efficient candlestick from before, which I had managed to scoop up from the ground while the officer's back had been to me. His body tensed for a moment, but then he was falling, colliding with the carpet in that uncaring way only the unconscious can muster. Looking at the two bodies and my weapon of choice, I was suddenly reminded of the board game Clue. Unfortunately, this wasn't nearly as fun. A random woman from a delivery service was one thing, but a local policeman suddenly disappearing? I sighed. This was going to be the third apartment I'd have to abandon in less than a year. And the security deposits were really starting to add up. There was nothing for it, though. I'd have to pack up and leave, get a new name, driver's license, and passport. The last one especially, because if I was being smart, I'd leave the country for a bit. I'd have to forward my mail through a safe house, of course, and apply for new credit cards and on, and God, it was all such a hassle. Sighing again, I glanced out the window and caught the sight of the setting sun. I always did love that. One of the reasons I hadn't applied for full vampire status yet. That and the small fortune required. Maybe this wouldn't be all bad, though. If I was traveling overseas anyway, why not make a vacation out of it? I had some frequent flyer miles saved, probably enough to get me to Bermuda or the Bahamas. I could disappear for a few months and take the vacation I so deserved, so needed, and come back, a new Lampier, a better, fitter, tanner Lampier. But first, I had to eat, both because I couldn't afford to waste perfectly good food on my budget, and also because if I drained the two of them of enough blood, it would ensure that they stayed knocked out long enough for me to make a quick getaway. Plus, this way when they woke up, the officer could help Maria get back home. She seemed nice enough, and after being forced to talk with her, sucking her dry just felt wrong. As I drank for Maria, who was surprisingly tart, instead of my thoughts drifting off to beautiful beaches and delicious Mai Tais of my future, I carefully planned the scathing review of Next Direct I was going to write once I was safely out of the country. Satisfaction guaranteed my ass.